steps to the mic with a boom ping ping. Wisdom sharper than a bee's fierce sting. Words like fireflies that light the night. He turns the dark into blazing bright. Boom ping ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom ping ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, all the airwaves king. The ground unveils a truce where lies abound. Politics, justice, social streams. He molds the chaos into dreams. No silence here, just the sound of change. Boom, ping, ping, rearrange ya. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king or the airwaves king. Through the static, through the noise, he amplifies the people's voice. Boom, ping, ping, like a heartbeat's call. He's got the wisdom to break down walls. Yeah.
Good morning to you all. Today is Thursday, August 27, 2026. I have a whole bunch of unrelated stuff I want to talk about. Well, some of it is going to be related, but I don't know. We're going to be all over the place today. I never really talked about Dolly Parton. She's dead. She died from the cancers. She was a beloved country music star. Her music was good. She sang a song called Jolene and a couple other songs. She also 1974, I Will Always Love You, and then Whitney Houston covered that song. And then that song became so popular with the Whitney Houston cover of I Will Always Love You by the Dolly Parton that Dolly Parton made $10 million in royalties from the Whitney Houston version of the 1974 classic I Will Always Love You. And then what Dolly Parton did was simply amazing. So at some point during today's program, I'm going to talk about not just the life and legacy of Dolly Parton, but holy smokes, did she do a lot of stuff for black people? And she didn't even really want a lot of credit for it. She did so many things. There was a whole literacy project that she was involved in, which actually had a positive impact on children here in Wisconsin. Oh, speaking of literacy and children here in Wisconsin. See, I told you we got a bunch of unrelated stuff going on today. The Forward Together for Kids, sponsored by City Forward Collective. We're going to do an episode today, I believe, at 11 o'clock. Xavier, did you get notification that we got a special guest coming in the studio? All right, we're going to talk about Teach for America and how representation matters, but it really matters in the classroom. And, you know, our children that are going to school really need to see teachers that look like them. While it may seem trivial to some of you, it is exceptionally important for young people and for students to see someone that they can actually culturally and racially relate to, because it automatically makes the information that that teacher is delivering to that child just a little bit more credible. And also, we have a major shortage of black African American teachers. If you ask many of the children in the city, and I would encourage you to do so, what they want to do when they grow up, don't expect any reasonable answers. But one thing you probably will not hear is, I want to be a teacher. We need more teachers. We are very quick to tell people what fields they should go in. A lot of adults and middle-aged people, and some of you old people, you know, some of you geriatrics. I love you, geriatrics. I'm damn near one of you. But we'll look at our lives and we'll look back and think, wow, if I had a chance to do it all over again, I would have been a fill in the blank. I would have been a plumber. That, I guess, plumbers plumb. I would have been an electrician, someone would have said, because, oh, they make so much money. And I think what we do is we tell young people, because part of our responsibility as older folk is to guide the young people into a proper path, because the hope is that the next generation does better than the previous. That is not happening right now. But I think a lot of us may look at our lives and say, oh, if I had a chance to do it all over again, I would have gotten into the trades. And we are very much encouraging young people to get into the trades. The amount of emails that I get and inbox messages that I get from people that are representing different spheres of the trade that always want to share either their job fairs or their apprenticeship programs, it's actually quite a lot. The problem is, if you want our young people or whoever, young adults, to get into the trades, we need people that can teach the trades, ladies and gentlemen. We need teachers that can teach the math, because I don't know why we have put trades employment and trades careers as, like, I don't want to say second tier, but we make it seem like it's easy. Oh, just go and get into the trades and you'll make $140,000 a year. No, the hell you won't. Not if you can't do math. And looking at the statistics, and they're very consistent, certainly more consistent than the damn Marquette University Law School poll, even though another one of those came out. I don't like the Marquette poll. I don't like it. I'm also not impressed by Marquette, which whenever I say that, it angers a lot of people. But what are they going to do? They went to Marquette. They can't fight. That's why they went to Marquette. I went to UWM. We'll kick anybody's ass. It's got David Crowley leading by 5 points. There's math involved in polling. There's math involved in sample sizes. There's math involved in how you sample different representative groups. There's math involved in counting voters and counting voter registration. But our young people don't know the math so very good. So why are we telling the young people to get involved in the trades when they don't know the math very good? You know, if you're an electrician and you don't know math very good, if you don't know the amperes and if you don't know the wattages and if you don't know the volts, you're going to get electrocuted. Like in the cartoons, you're going to touch two wires together. You didn't get the volts right or the amps right or the wattages right. And then you're going to be electrocuted and then we're going to be able to see your bones. Like in the cartoons, when you get electrocuted, we can automatically see your bones. So we have to make sure we are doubling down on the basics. So we're going to have Michael Nguyen in the studio. He is the executive director of Teach for America Milwaukee. He's going to be joining us for our Forward Together for Kids segment at 11 o'clock. And I want you guys to certainly stick around and stay tuned for that, because I'm looking forward to that conversation. Because you know what I think? I think that some of you would be really good teachers. I, believe it or not, Sherwin Hughes, was on a track to be a college professor. I know that's very shocking to some of you. So when I was finishing my degree from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, there weren't very many high hopes professionally or a lot of opportunities for someone getting a degree in the study of society. I have a Bachelor of Arts degree in sociology. And so we were offered a couple of things. Now, you got to keep in mind, this is better than a quarter century ago. At the time, believe it or not, there was a particular category of employment where you could literally make your own salary, because the demand was so high that they just wanted somebody who had some, like, a college degree of any kind, and they would take you in this field, and you literally could name your salary. You could make your own hours, which was very, very unusual for the late 1990s. And the year 2000 for those kinds of jobs to exist. So we were offered all sorts of opportunities, because by the time you're in your 400 and 500 level classes in college, then job opportunities start just showing up. So here, sign up here if you want a paid internship doing this, or sign up here if you want a paid internship with this downtown Milwaukee corporation. I don't even know if they do that anymore. All of our internships were paid. If someone even would have suggested to us back then that internships were free and you get paid an experience, we would have laughed at you. I got an internship my last year at UW Milwaukee that paid me $15 an hour in 1998. Some people are still fighting for $15 an hour, and it's almost 2027. That is wholeheartedly disappointing, because $15 an hour then, you was okay now. You had a couple little dollars to throw around. It was 20 hours a week, $15 an hour. And that little nice little $320 every week, that hit me right where it needed to hit me. However, I digress. The job was technical writing. So that was the opportunities that were offered to us. The other one was, if you have your bachelor's degree in sociology, all you would need was a minimum grade point average in your core sociology classes. You needed a 3.0 in your sociology classes, and then you would need 3 letters of recommendation from 3 of your sociology professors, and you could be admitted into the master's degree program, which sets you up to eventually become a professor at the university, any university, but specifically they wanted to retain sociology graduates to teach sociology and related fields at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. If you followed that track, you wouldn't have to take the GRE. Do they still do the GRE, the graduate record exam, where if you want to go to grad school, are you familiar with that, Xavier? A long time ago, if you wanted to go to grad school, just like if you wanted to get admitted into the colleges and the universities, you have to take the ACT or you have to take the SAT. The GRE was a test that no matter what your field was, if you wanted to go to grad school, you had to take the GRE and then get a certain score. Obviously, the higher the score, the more scholarship opportunities that were available to you. But if you were a sociology student and you had at least a 3.0 in your core sociology classes, and you got 3 letters of recommendation from professors, they would automatically admit you. And I started on that track. But then I got a job working for a member of Congress, and I was like, screw this! Screw you, UW-Milwaukee, and your sociology professorship. Sometimes I think back, and I was like, damn, I'd be retired by now, probably. I probably would have went on a sabbatical and did a whole bunch of research studying many tribes in India. Who knows where that world could have taken me? But instead, alas, I'm here with you. I have no regrets. Technical writing. I didn't really get to the details of that. Check this out. You guys familiar with what a technical writer is? I don't know what happened to them now. They've probably been replaced by AI. But in the late 1990s and in the early 2000s, you could get a job being a technical writer, and the minimum salary that you would get was $100,000. $100,000, if you don't have any dependents and you're a single person, is a decent amount of money right now. I would say that's, if you're a single person making $100,000, you're okay in Milwaukee. You can have your little nice car. You probably can buy a house, take you a couple little few vacations. You can afford to go out to eat to a couple little few nice restaurants. You can afford to go to shows and see live music. $100,000 is nice. You know, it'll get you there. It'll move the needle a little bit. Pay your little student loans back. Have a little money left over to spare. If you make $100,000 in the year 2026, $100,000 in 1998, I would be hanging out at the Playboy Mansion just throwing dollar bills at the Playmates, making $100,000 back then. Money went way further back then. But a technical writer is someone who writes instruction manuals. So you know, if you get like a, I don't know, like a new device, a new computer, some furniture that you have to put together. Technical writers are the people that back in the day would script, they would send you the product, right? And then you would sort out how you put the product together, and then you would write up the manual. And then that manual would get printed and reprinted and included in the boxes of whatever it was that needed to be assembled. There were so few people that wanted to be technical writers that they were just going around to college campuses. Whoever these companies were, because if you have a, I don't know, a furniture company, and you make the ready-to-assemble furniture, that company didn't also write the instruction manual on how you put it together. They would contract out for it. So that was a job that I considered. But then I thought, that probably sucks because I would not know how to explain the intricate details of how you put certain things together. Because here's what I do. I'm one of these kind of people. I buy something that needs a little bit of assembly. First of all, I don't like to assemble stuff because I just don't. But whatever. I don't look at the instruction manual. I lay out all the pieces and I intuitively just start to assemble it. I only refer to the instruction manual when I get stumped. If I can't figure it out, then I'll revert to the instruction manual. And most of the time, I am able to assemble things relatively securely without needing the instruction manual, because most things I may purchase that need to be assembled are fairly straightforward. I will say this. Do not ask me to help assemble your baby's crib, because I have been asked to help people assemble a crib before. Oh, I got it. Don't worry about it. Oh, go take care of whatever else you have to do around the house. Good old Uncle Sherwin is going to take care of assembling the crib. I wouldn't put a damn baby anywhere near a crib. I assembled. I had 17 parts left over, bolts, nuts, screws. It was rickety. I just wouldn't trust myself to put together a crib. I said all that to say this. The Jehovah's are coming to town. Talked about that yesterday. They're having their international convention here. There's a story that appears in today's newspaper, because apparently this is a very big deal. Not quite as big a deal as Dolly Parton dying, but the Jehovah's having their international convention in Milwaukee it's something significant. And a good section of downtown, central downtown streets are going to be closed for the duration of the convention. Yesterday's program, I talked a little bit about the Jehovah's. They're an interesting sort, not a very large congregation, a very strict, specific type of Christian. They've got 120,000 different congregations all over the world, but only 9.2 million members worldwide. So not a huge congregation, but like anyone else, we welcome you here to the city of Milwaukee. But then there's something that they're doing that I thought it was kind of cute when I talked about it yesterday, but then I had a chance to let it incubate a little bit, and now I'm offended at this thing that the Jehovah's are doing ahead of their convention. So I remarked, because they got here on Wednesday, some of them did. There's some that are here ahead of the convention in order to prepare for the convention, which is, in fact, this weekend. And the article that appears in today's Journal Sentinel, I'd imagine the Journal and other local news media outlets are going to cover the Jehovah's the entire time they're here. Lucky us. If I was a door, I wouldn't feel safe because you're going to get knocked. Why are thousands of volunteers scrubbing downtown Milwaukee clean? They're literally going around and they're like cleaning the city. They're cleaning downtown. Downtown is one of the cleanest parts of the city of Milwaukee. Every now and again, you might find a little bit of debris. You might find a little potato chip bag here every so often. You may find a backwoods blunt wrapper maybe every so often. You might. Is our city not clean enough for you? Who do you think you are? You don't got to come here and clean. We clean the city. We got street sweepers. You want to clean, come back in the springtime when Tory Lowe does his cleanup. We'll give you something to clean up. You ain't got to get here early and clean. They're basically saying, ew, Milwaukee, you dirty heathens. We got to come several days ahead of our international convention because we don't like the way you keep your house. I witnessed a fight once between a wife and a mother-in-law. It was the most fierce thing I've ever seen in my entire life. You know what I should do? I should take a break, come back and tell you about this story, because let me tell you something. I feel like that scorned wife. Sherwin is going to tell you how he, with the Jehovah's getting here ahead of the convention to make sure the city is clean enough to have their convention here. I'm offended by that. Well, Milwaukee's not clean enough for you. Should have tried Chicago if you don't think that we're clean enough. Should have tried Detroit. We're very clean. We're spotless here. We smell like ivory soap here in Milwaukee. Well, some of us don't, but I'm offended. I'm so offended that I have a Halloween costume idea, and it does involve a Jehovah's Witness. So here's what I need, and I'm going to take a break. I always say I'm going to take a break, and then I don't. I need a woman between the ages of preferably 35 and 55 to be the part two of my two-part Halloween costume. So if there are any ladies between the ages of 35 and 55, we can go thin build, we can go medium build, we can even go heavy set, but I need a woman between the ages of 35 and 55 who is available the entire Halloween weekend because my costume involves two parts, one part me, one part you, and we're going to clean up. We're going to go to every goddamn Halloween contest in this city, and we're going to make sure that we enter all the ones with a cash prize, and we're going to get rich. But I need a woman between the ages of 35 and 55. Don't be 57 years old. You're too old. And don't show me no fake ID. Don't be 62 years old and show me a fake saying you're 48.
Lady B, Linda, here's your chance.
Hold on. No, look, you need to relax. No. No wolves of the Book of Variety, sir. None of those.
Oh, I thought they were very nice looking women.
I don't know. First of all, I don't objectify women. All women are beautiful.
Yeah, send your photos in, ladies.
All women are beautiful. Ladies, quick question. Now, I really got to take a break. I'm way over time. Do y'all nag each other or just us? So while you think about that, also, by the way, eggs are not dairy. The truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
If you ever want to know what 1991 sounds like, this.
Would you join me, please, in welcoming me?
Redeemer, oh, take me back. The world is so crazy. So here is the biggest fight that I have ever witnessed between a mother-in-law and a wife. Now, this is traditional woman stuff, traditional wife stuff. This is trad wife stuff. So a lot of y'all are not going to be able to relate to this because, you know, expecting a traditional wife is insane nowadays because how dare you, right? The mother-in-law, the couple just had a baby fairly recently. And so the mother-in-law was coming over to help. To help with the baby. Sometimes that's what mother-in-laws do. They help. They help with things around the house because, you know, a new parents, especially if it's their first child, can be very overwhelmed. And it can be very stressful. In fact, it can be so stressful, we come to find out, that, you know, women can be so overwhelmed by the postpartum that they may murder their kids. So we want to make sure that the mothers are getting all the help they need. Xavier, you would like to add something to the discussion.
Yeah, the judge on that case today, yeah. He told the jury to go into their decision-making with an open mind about the wife or the murderer. Or
unbelievable that the judge is tainting the jury like that.
Yes. Stood in front of them, gave a speech and everything. Go into it with an open mind.
It's either she ain't going to get acquitted. It's going to be either a hung jury or solidly guilty. There's going to be somebody on that jury that's going to be like, nah, she killed her kids. She sent the husband to go run errands and made sure the errands would take long enough so she had time to kill her kids. So, anyways, you got to make sure that the women are not overwhelmed. And so the mother-in-law comes over to be helpful, right? There's always a very unusual, even if people don't want to admit it, relationship between the wife and the mother-in-law, a lot of times because mamas don't think any woman is good enough for her boy, right? There's always a weird kind of tension. However, I digress. The mother-in-law comes over, doesn't even really say hello to anybody, just walks in the house like it's her house, because sometimes mother-in-laws can feel a heavy sense of ownership over anything that their son is involved in, right? It's her son's house, even though it's her son and his wife's house. The mother-in-law, she walks in, front door is open. What does she start doing? Immediately starts cleaning. Starts cleaning up in the kitchen, start putting stuff away in the kitchen. And the wife, is just like, yo, what are you? And then the argument ensues because it was assumed that the wife doesn't keep a clean enough house. So the mother-in-law starts to clean anyway, even though the house, and I was there. I was like, this is not bad. I had no business being there because I certainly wasn't going to help with the baby because no thanks. But then it was, hey, what are you doing? Oh, no, this over here is disgusting. And who left the kitchen like this? And now these two women are arguing. This is what I feel like. I feel like that overwhelmed wife who's trying to keep it all together and keep the house straight, and you got a new baby, and of course you got to deal with your spouse and everything else that life brings with it, and then to see someone essentially degrade you and demean how clean you keep your house is very, very offensive. These Jehovah's Witnesses are coming to Milwaukee ahead of their convention this weekend, which is going to block off about half of downtown. You ain't going to be able to get to the places you need to get to. And thankfully, it's over a weekend because the area surrounding the 3rd Street Market Hall, all that's going to be blocked off. Joe Laffenberg was born and raised in Fonjillac, Wisconsin, to a family that has practiced the Jehovah's Witness faith for generations. And community service is deeply rooted in his life. He has cleaned windows prior to a convention in Green Bay. He's provided public ministry to neighbors in Fonjillac. On Wednesday morning, August 26th, Laffenberg, age 46, was one of 10 volunteers sweeping and picking up trash inside the 330 West Wells Street parking garage ahead of the religious group's 2026 International Convention at the Baird Center this weekend from August 28th through August 30th. Quote, my family and I saw all that were coming to Milwaukee and thought, what a nice opportunity to clean and give Jehovah's Witnesses the best possible view of the city. Hold on, dog. What you mean the best possible view of the city? Why don't you go to the top of the Pfister? Go to Blue on the 23rd floor. There's a beautiful view of the city. In fact, Milwaukee's skyline is really starting to take shape. You know how I describe Milwaukee's skyline? Because if you are in one of the many places in this city where you can get a good view, Milwaukee's very beautiful. It's like we're getting breasts. Like our skyline is hitting puberty. If you come across the Home Bridge, and it's a beautiful, picturesque view from ear to ear. If you're maybe at Blue, it's really nice. If you're out on a boat, I highly encourage you to get on a boat. I hope you have a friend with a boat, because a friend with a boat is a very good friend indeed. And go out, about a half a mile offshore and just look at how beautiful and majestic Milwaukee's skyline is. And if you look to the north, you'll see a St. Mary's Hospital, this beautiful white building, and it's built on a bluff. St. Mary's Hospital, it's a wonderful, wonderful place to die. If you need to die somewhere that's very pleasant and quiet, I highly recommend St. Mary's Hospital is where you should go and die. And you can see it as a part of the Milwaukee skyline as it kind of fills out the enclave known as Milwaukee's East Side. It's beautiful. I think this is a very impressive city. I think Milwaukee punches way above its weight. You know what I did yesterday? I went to one of my favorite restaurants. Not going to tell you which one it is. I don't need to see any of you there. Let me tell you why it's one of my favorite restaurants, because for some reason, no one goes there for lunch. People go there on the weekends. People go there for brunch on Sundays. They got a very nice Sunday fun day. They sometimes have live music. People go for happy hour, but they don't ever go for lunch. And sometimes when I have lunch, I don't want to see people. The only people I want to see is my server. So I went to my little favorite little spot, and I was feeling just, I felt real good yesterday. I felt real motivated and optimistic. And then I went to my favorite park, Lakeshore State Park. They're actually having an event this weekend. So if you don't want to be bothered with the Jehovah's, or if you don't want to help the Jehovah's pick up much trash around the city, which I find very embarrassing, y'all ain't even got here yet. You have any, just, you're going to send some people just ahead of time to clean up the city? I don't, that's very offensive. We keep a very clean city. I feel like that wife whose mother-in-law just walks in the house and just starts cleaning up, basically saying, oh, you don't keep a clean enough house. We need to clean it ourselves. But also, don't men get accused of this too? If a woman says, hey, honey, can you help around the house? Can you clean up a little bit? And men, I think men do a great job of cleaning. We get it done. We're efficient when we clean. But if we don't clean to the standard of a woman, then she thinks that it's weaponized incompetence. Y'all got to chill with that. Man might be loading or unloading the dishwasher, but if he's not loading or unloading the dishwasher the way the woman would do it, what does she do? So just stop. I'll just stop putting the dishes away. I'll do it. I can't stand. That's why we don't want to marry y'all. It's like the only way, and that's an OCD thing, I think. Some women think that the only way to do something is the way that they do it, and if it's done slightly differently, it gives them anxiety. Honey, you need medication. You should be happy that we even want to help around the house. Here's the other thing I come to find out. Y'all going to get mad at me today. Might as well. I'm used to it. Being a stay-at-home parent is not hard. Go pour concrete and go cut bricks 80 hours a week and tell me which job you'd rather have. I'd love to be a stay-at-home daddy. I'd make all the meals. I'd do all the laundry. Everything would be put all the dishes away. The house would be clean. And then I'd take a nap. And me and the babies will read stories. And we'll have snack time. You know, put little goldfish crackers in a little plastic baggie. Oh, it's so hard. Try dealing with a boss that's racist 40 hours a week. All right, I'm going to take a break. Come back. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
On Wednesday morning, August 26th, Joe Laffenberg, age 46, was one of 10 volunteers sweeping and picking up trash inside the 330 West Wells Parking Street Garage. West Wells Street Parking Garage. Ahead of the religious group's 2026 International Convention, it's going to be held at the Baird Center this weekend from August 28th through August 30th. And I want to let you guys know about the street closures. I'll give you those streets in just a moment. Joe goes on to say, my family and I saw that all were coming to Milwaukee and thought, what a nice opportunity to clean the city, to give Jehovah's Witnesses the best view of the city, Laffenberg said. It's priceless, a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and it hasn't even started yet. Laffenberg was among hundreds of other volunteers wearing blue vests that began a, quote, general cleanup on August 26th, targeting 17 parking lots near the convention center. The cleanup effort, Laffenberg said, is a major part of the volunteer-based religious group's faith, serving as an appreciation to the convention's host city, Milwaukee. They're here at the market hall. You gonna see them. Tell you what, Jehovah's. Come knock on my door. I'll let you in. Show you where the vacuum is. The broom. what do you call the thing? The thing that you sweep. You got a broom, and then you have the thing that you sweep the dust into, a dustpan. There you go. Earlier this week, volunteers, good God, pressure washed the walls and the streets near the Baird Center. It's all spotless over there. Come on, y'all. Listen, don't y'all have, I guess you can't really do a lot of door knocking downtown because that's a lot of apartments and condos, and they're not buzzing you in.
I will.
I know you will. What if it's a bunch of dudes, though? Because I know you want to try and turn out a Jehovah's woman.
Bunch of guys coming into my house?
Would you let them in? No, you wouldn't let the guys in. You just want the girls to come in.
Yeah.
I know this much because I know. Well, I told you guys about Scorpio. She left the faith. There's something about the repression. Like sexual repression from being in one of these really, really super duper strict religions that when people break away from it, and it's a tremendous sacrifice, and I cannot like overstate this. If you are able to leave the Jehovah's faith, you're sacrificing everything you've ever known. You're sacrificing your family, like your mother and father. They can't talk to you anymore. Your siblings, your uncles, your aunts, your entire community basically abandons you. It's really horrible. You're out there in the world completely on your own. But then when people decide that's what they want to do and they take that step, the freedom, you're reborn again because you're not constrained by the confines of this very, very strict interpretation of the Bible. And they just, they explore the world through brand new eyes. And I was fortunate enough to meet Scorpio. Like, she had been out for a couple of years, but still a lot of things were new. Like, her husband wouldn't let her do nothing. She had babies at 19. She couldn't do anything. But then when she finally left sometime in her late 30s and she was able to explore, I caught her at the right time.
Sounds like fun to me.
I asked her if she had ever been to, because I have a list of restaurants that are must-go-tos in Milwaukee, and I asked her if she had ever been. It's like 15 that you got to go. Some are nice, some are, you know, kind of average, some are just authentically Milwaukee. She hadn't been to any of them. I was like, oh, honey, we got to go eat. And how appreciative she was that I took her to one of these restaurants. It was amazing. And then she started to share with me how difficult the life actually was, because you can't be a free thinker. You can't be an independent thinker. You can't be a critical thinker and still adhere to some of the most strict pieces of that religion, especially when it comes to your role as a wife. I think it's very healthy for every relationship, for every marriage, for the wife to cuss the husband out every now and again. Just not a lot. Like, if he comes home with glitter on him, then, you know what I mean? Then, of course, ladies, express yourself. But she just had to keep everything in. And then there's another friend of mine who I just found out fairly recently that he left the life. I didn't know that he was ever a Jehovah, and that's where he came from. And then somebody, a mutual friend, was like, oh, Sherwin, you know, so-and-so used to be a Jehovah. I was like, word? You would have never guessed it. And a lot of you know who this person is. He's kind of Milwaukee famous, whatever the hell that means. I'm not sure what Milwaukee famous even really means. Speaking of Milwaukee famous, there is yet another story about the backlash to the garage, the bar on Brady and Arlington. And there is a news story where one of the popular Milwaukee artist Ishmael Ali, known as Ishdar, he's a local Milwaukee artist, and on the list of 36 artists that the garage no longer wants played as a part of DJ's set list, it said explicitly no Milwaukee artists. Well, local news affiliate CBS 58 did an interview with Ishdar. Ishmael Ali is his name. Ishdar is his rap hip-hop name, I suppose. And I want to play a little taste. We're not going to do it right now. I'm going to take a break, come back, and we'll play it on the other side. And I want to use it as an example. So I don't know what Ishtar, I know Ishtar is like the goddess, like a female goddess of femininity and fertility. Why a black man would, but it's not, his name is Ishtar. But maybe that's a play on Ishtar, because I never understand some of the names that people pick for themselves. Like Charlemagne the God, who I hate because he is a gossip columnist that needs to get his face punched in. I hate people like that. I hate people that have the opportunity to provide good information to a large audience, and all he does is he gossips like a teenage girl. Somebody needs to, and he's almost gotten his ass kicked a few times. But Charlemagne, you know who Charlemagne is? Charlemagne is... it was the father of modern Europe who lived in the year 800. Why would your black ass name yourself after the father of modern Europe? I want to punch Charlemagne in the face just because of that. And while I'm punching faces, Roland Martin can get some too. I guess Roland Martin got caught cheating recently. Got caught in his wearing some leopard print underwear.
I like Roland Martin.
Man, I wish he would come back to Milwaukee. I hope he shows up with the Jehovah's. It's going to be me and him. If I see Roland Martin, it's going to be some furniture moving in this motherfucker.
You said they caught him with some leather panties?
He's wearing some leopard skin underwear.
Who cares?
But he was not with his wife.
So?
No, you ain't supposed to cheat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you ain't. But he always preaches this holier-than-thou stuff. Like, come on, dog. All the people that preach the whole, like, I know damn well that I'm not ever going to preach holier-than-thou because I'm sinnier-than-thou. I sin.
I like the sin.
Oh, my God. Ain't nothing like it.
Feels good.
Because I don't want to have to wait. Like, I don't want to die to get my heaven. Why everybody else got to get their heaven? Everybody else gets their heaven on earth.
You believe in heaven?
Yeah, because I can create it right here on earth.
Yeah. I think when we die, it just goes to black.
I believe in many things. I think that religions, there's something in every world religion that has a premise that is worth embracing for humanity to be better and to realize its full potential. Like the Jews have some good things and the Christians have some good things and the Muslims have some good things. Bismillah. Inshallah.
If I love
God wills
food.
It. What'd you say, Xavier?
I said I love halal food.
What's the difference? It's just blessed, isn't it? It's not. Is it prepared?
It's the way they raise the cows and stuff like that. You know, it's not like brutal. You know, and it's better quality meat.
Whatever. I don't care how my cow was raised. I just want it to look right when it's on my plate. Oh, by the way, eggs are not dairy. Why are y'all arguing with me about that? Eggs are not, because they put eggs in the dairy section does not mean that eggs are dairy. Dairy are products that come from cow's milk. Chickens lay eggs. A chicken is not a cow. Malcolm X said, if a cat has babies in the oven, are they biscuits or kittens? Just because you put eggs in the dairy section doesn't mean that they're... I'm over here arguing with somebody. Sure, yes, eggs is... yes, they are dairy. You went to NPS, didn't you, buddy? How you know? It's obvious. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM is going to come back, and when we come back, we're going to play you a little bit of the an interview from one of the Milwaukee rappers whose music is not allowed to be played at the garage. And once you hear the interview, you're probably going to understand why. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Mao the Elephant says, Sherwin, I want you in a boxing match against Roland. I do too. Gladly. Set it up. I'll promote it here on 101.7 The Truth. We'll put it on the Poly Market. put it on the betting sites. I got that ass. His head is so big, it's such an easy target. You know what I mean? Like, I just... He probably has a strong chin, though. He's got to have a strong chin to hold up all that head.
He can't be that bad. You don't like him that much?
He came here and he disrespected the etiquette that exists. If you have your own platform and you go on somebody else's platform, there's unspoken rules of how you conduct yourself. And I observe those rules. Every now and again, Sherwin will appear on somebody else's radio show. I've stopped in the morning show with Homer and Bailey. In fact, all of the shows that we've ever had here at 101.7 The Truth, at some point in time, I've always stopped in. Even though I've had my own show on different radio stations for a very, very long time, if I am a guest on somebody else's show, it's their show. I'm a passenger. I'm second fiddle. I speak when I'm spoken to. I keep my answers truncated and succinct. Roland Martin's big head ass got on my microphone and thought it was his show. And I'm giving him the visual cues. I'm like, hey, man, bring it back. Land the plane, Roland, land the plane. And then another thing. And then on my show, we go. I could feel it was such a sweet, sweet daydream of my hands tightening around that fat ass neck of his. I just could feel, and I drifted off into a place of bliss. It was so bad. And he was here because I guess he was doing some, I don't know, some event promoting Kamala Harris, which clearly didn't work because Kamala lost. Can you play the video clip, the little brief interview of Milwaukee rapper Ishdar when he had his little conversation with CBS 58 regarding the garage and him being an artist that is no longer being played there?
A popular Brady Street bar could temporarily close after a no playlist sparked backlash from local artists. Andy Bernhardt has the story and reaction.
You can see it behind me. The garage remains closed and has been for several days after a list sparked controversy for banning certain artists.
You might catch us locals mobbing at your corner store.
Ishmael Ali's passion is his music, something he loves to share with the Milwaukee community. So when Ishmael was at one of his favorite bars, the garage on Brady Street, he was shocked and disturbed at what he found.
And I look down and I just see the duct tape and the list and I'm like, oh, this is real.
He says the list at the DJ booth had several black artists listed on a no playlist, including a note saying no Milwaukee rap, bolded in all caps.
It felt like a slap in the face to us. Like I said, being black myself, being an artist, it was kind of like a, I don't know if it was a do not enter sign or like a, it kind of looked just standoffish to us.
The garage responded on social media saying they spoke with the employee who issued the list, which was not approved by ownership, saying it was not acceptable. The bar says its intention was to eliminate music with lyrics referencing violence or guns, but a list of artists was the wrong approach.
At this time, we need to, you know, be together. I feel like from the establishments to the artists, it's just creating a better environment for all of us.
Sources tell CBS 58 News the owners of the bar sent out a message to employees saying the bar will be closed for 2 weeks with compensation. CBS 58 did reach out to the garage for more information on the closure and plans moving forward, but did not receive a response yet. In Milwaukee, Andy Bernhardt, CBS 58 News.
So in that little brief interview, here's what troubles me about that. He could not use profanity. Like, dude, here's an opportunity for you to represent yourself well and to push back on this venue that is not playing your music because of its vulgarity, and you can't not cuss with a CBS 58 local news camera in front of your face. And shout out to DJ Brother Z. He is in the YouTube chat. And before we play the clip, because I gave a little preface to the clip, Zach said, no Ishdar slander will be tolerated. Zach, you are the biggest stickler for profanity on terrestrial media that I've ever met in my entire life. Like, Al is currently banned for a profanity that Al didn't even say because it sounded like Al said a profanity. And this local Milwaukee rapper could not choose any other word than sugar, honey, iced tea. Well, and they had to bleep it out, and that makes him look bad. Now, I also know that the standard is probably low because someone who, you know, is a local artist or a rapper or whatever probably does not do a lot of media, and obviously for good reason. But I just think it was a poor presentation because when you think about it, it is unfair to local artists. If you look at it from their perspective, I think in the grand scheme of things, when it comes to business and business ownership, they have the full right to decide what does and does not get played and who does and does not get booked at their venues. But the fact that he used profanity on a local media interview, it kind of proves the point. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back for hour two.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.